say that the Pharisee did not come to the temple to pray. He came to boast. To boast that he was not a sinner like the rest of mankind. And he gives a litany of his virtues. And the Pharisee is quite good. Like, he doesn't lust after women. He fasts. He's prayerful. He's even generous, giving 10%, he says, off the top, gross. He gives 10% of his income. Unfortunately, the devil will allow us to conquer any vice if we maintain the ugliest one, pride. He won't bother tempting us with impure thoughts, laziness, gluttony, as long as he can keep us thinking how much better we are than the rest of humanity. Like St. Augustine says, every other kind of iniquity prompts the doing of evil deeds, but pride lurks even in good deeds to their undoing. Okay? Pride prompts us to do good deeds to their undoing. One book on pride is called Thief of the Holocaust. And the most heroic sacrifice loses its value when the motive is self-love. Giving a donation in order to have a building named after us is not the purest of motives. And so pride blinds us spiritually. Father Bloom says, when we are spiritually blind, we are unable to see ourselves in the light of truth. We really cannot examine our own conscience when we're blinded by pride. It's a grace to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. And the proud, like we say, are blinded. The Pharisees are blinded. They could not examine their own consciences. They could only examine the consciences of their neighbors. Okay? So they only examine other people's conscience. And their prayer is dysfunctional. Like it says, the Pharisee prays with head unbowed. It says in that gospel, he spoke this prayer to himself. Okay? Like we say, right church, wrong God. He spoke this prayer to himself. And Father Robert Barron says that the Pharisee is self-absorbed. He has not broken out of the web of his own egotism. Okay? He does not allow God to break through into his world. That's what humility is. That's what prayer is. Okay? Prayer allows God to break into my world, to allow the self to be overwhelmed by God. That's the tax collector. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The first prayer is heard. The first prayer of the Pharisee is not heard, but the prayer of the publican is. The first one is not even directed to God, but the second one is. And you might see a practical application of this. Like some argue that truth does not exist. Like pride, as we said, blinds us to reality. Pride blinds us to the truth. So some people argue that truth does not exist because they cannot see it. Okay? Well, that's like the blind person arguing that color does not exist because they cannot see it. All they can see is black. Well, in the church, we live in the splendor of truth. We live in the splendor and the glory of eternal light. And so it's the people who are living in darkness who have seen a great light. Christ, like the Pharisees, couldn't recognize Jesus as the light of the world. Okay, like we say, the inability to recognize light, to see light, is blindness. Their prayer was an exercise in self-congratulations. Okay, but humility enables us to transcend ourselves, to get outside of ourselves, and to reach God. It's the prayer of the humble it's that humility that opens our eyes to the truth, to the fact we are all sinners. Humility is our lifeline to transcendence. It's our lifeline to God. Okay? through humility, we can touch that which is eternal. And while it's true that we should examine our conscience like the Pharisees, we should thank God for all the sins we did not commit. But unlike the Pharisees, we should attribute the good not to ourselves, but to God. And it's humility that opens our eyes to that reality. The first reading talks about the prayer that pierces the clouds. And it's the humble prayer, it's humility that enables our prayers to pierce the clouds and to reach God.